Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 337 of Mighty White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here. See,
hello.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week of going to Elland Road.
Yeah, it has all been much better than expected.
Yeah, an incredible amount better than we all expected, I think. Obviously, the win against Chelsea was a brilliant performance and a deserved win. And this wasn't as good a performance as that. But the way that we've sort of battled back into this, especially after sort of it being such self-inflicted injuries at the start to go behind, I think that I'm almost, this game has kind of made me more confident than the Chelsea game did.
Yeah, I think with the Chelsea game, they didn't play to their ability. Whereas I felt watching Liverpool, especially their midfield, I thought they moved the ball a lot quicker. It's weird because I won't say they were more direct, and yet they still weren't that. We didn't face that many shots.
Yeah, I don't direct, but not long.
Yeah,
it was like they got the ball forward quicker than Chelsea did for me. And the thing that I thought made them a lot better than Chelsea was just sort of the positional rotations. They weren't as static, so they weren't nearly as easy to mark. They were a lot more willing to run in behind us, which is a lot harder to deal with as well. But like you were saying, in the first half, they do have, you know, pretty much all the ball. There was one like 5 minute period where we actually got our foot on the ball and we didn't go anywhere, but we just needed it. But there was the Okafor chance really early on. A couple of blocked things. And they had a couple of decent efforts. The only really massive thing was Curtis Jones hitting the bar from the edge of the box.
Yeah, it was a really good strike from Jones as well. Like, I think we were both sat there thinking, well, that's in.
Yeah, well, as soon as he hit it, I just immediately went, that's in, straight away. It looked every bit from there. But they've had more of the game and stuff, but it was 0-0 at half time, and I didn't go in thinking we've shithoused our way to 0-0 here. It felt about right.
Yeah, I think obviously I think the disappointment for us was firstly Mecha being injured. So Okafor comes in,
And I do think there was a noticeable drop off there, and he is the person I would have picked with Mecha being out as well, but I don't think he quite got into the game enough.
No, and I think part of that is as well, Liverpool did a very good job with Calvert-Lewin as well. Like they won so many headers between Konate and Van Dijk.
Van Dijk especially. I'm not sure how many. I think that when Calvert-Lewin, if he'd have been up against Konate all the time, I think he might have won a fair bit. But because there's only one of them instead of it being two up top, the big lads, Van Dijk knew he could just focus on Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
And I think that made us easier to defend against.
Yeah, so there wasn't a lot for Okafor to work off of. Gruev came in for Tanaka as well, and which kind of made the midfield more of a flat three. Mm. So we weren't holding the ball up there as well as we did against Chelsea. Which did result in us kind of switching to playing shorter more often, and trying to build out a little bit more. But like you said, that they are a very good team, and all it takes was a few passes to go straight on it and bringing the ball forward again.
Yeah, it was harder for us to keep possession than it was in other games, and we didn't get quite as much value for long balls in the first half. Unfortunately, like even though we've been miles better since the switch of formation and the efforts there, sometimes your Leeds players are going to do some Leeds things. I mean, Joe Roden, this was, what, 101 games in a row that he started?
Hmm.
Like, he's made like three proper errors, and this was one of them. He just goes to pass the ball to Lampadou. He misses him by 5 yards and it's 15 yards past him. And
yeah.
Ekatike is a top quality striker who's rapid, gets him behind. Ampadu thinks about just kicking him up in air, and I think, and he made the right decision not to, because I think if we'd have gone down to 10, it long term would have been worse. It's a good finish from Ekitike.
Yeah. It's, you know, strikers like that, if you give them that chance, you'd be bitterly.
He's their second most expensive striker at the like 80 million that he cost.
Yeah. But yeah, you can't be giving players of that sort of quality those chances. There's Perry comes out, there's nothing he can do about it. It's just 1v1. And I think the one of the nice things to see was like three of the players go straight over to Rode and give him a bit of a slap on the back and like, yeah, crack on. Let's
not do anything else stupid within the next 5 minutes.
Don't worry, someone else will do something stupid and we'll forget all about that.
As I say, it is one of them when it's like when it's Joe Roden doing something like that, no one was angry. Like, they were angry that we'd conceded a goal all around us, but everyone went, oh, that's so unlike him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of credit in the bank, doesn't he?
Sometimes it happens. You only really lose it with players when they're doing stuff over and over again. But yeah, I mean, was it 5 minutes? It was about that.
Three, I believe.
3 minutes. Yeah, Leeds playing short for no real reason, given the circumstances. Gets played short to Strouk. Strouk has quite a bit of time. Could get rid. Could go long. Plays it to Goodmanson. He tries to beat Connor Bradley, and I know he's good at that. Knock it past him and run. But when I saw it back, like, Bradley is right on him.
Yeah.
He's no time to get away, which for me means it's more on the pass to him than his decision from Strouk. Loses it. Bradley gets out of his feet. It's a good cross. I've seen it back. I still think Perry should get there.
Yeah, he seems to sort of fall towards it, not diving out to meet it.
Although, it's almost like he's not fully committed to it. And, you know, it sort of bundles in. So, like, I think Perry was going short in the first place is bad. I think the pass from Strouk is poor. I think Goodmanson's is a smaller error, but still an error. It's just not good all over.
It all stems as well from Ekitike goes through, dives.
Yeah, I've got it here because none of it should have happened.
And then Anthony Taylor, who had a wonderful game,
fucking useless prick, he
seemed to stare at it for an age, and allowed advantage.
Give it just says play on, because look. The Leeds mistakes are the Leeds mistakes. They will look at them. They know that they've done them. But it's a complete. It's a swan dive from Ekitike. It's a blatant dive to try and win a penalty. The ref says no pen, but the decision there is free kick to Leeds and a booking for Ekitike.
Yeah.
That is what the decision is for that. And if he does his job, that goal doesn't happen.
Yeah, because the other side of it is, obviously, Perry ends up with it in his hands. And if it's a free kick, you get more than 8 seconds to distribute the ball. You know, you get the time for everyone to move up the pitch and, you know, you send it long or however you build out. But you get a chance to get your shape, as opposed to that where you've got possession, you're probably looking at the ref going, what are we doing here? Oh, okay, I've got to get rid of this now.
Yeah, I mean, still do that bit better.
Oh, yeah.
But
like you say, it's still very much self-inflicted, but the starting point was quite frustrating.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, look, I wouldn't normally do it now. It'd normally be a post-game thing. But God, Anthony Taylor was an abysmal referee. I don't know what Dominic Calvert-Lewin did to him, but he hates Calvert-Lewin. Every time Calvert-Lewin got fouled, nothing. If Calvert-Lewin went near someone, foul. It was such one-sided refereeing, and eventually, and then every now and then he'd catch himself and realise what he'd done, because like he gave us nothing. There was like, it was 5 or 6 pretty clear fouls in the space of about 2 minutes, none of them given, and then Gruev mistimed a jump, wasn't fouled, fell over, and he gave us a free kick.
I think Gruev had a couple of those.
Yeah,
I don't, whether it's weird. Because Gruev is just so much smaller than everyone else on the pitch, he just went, ah, well, he's not going to do it. That first Gruev one, he jumped onto someone's back, tipped himself over.
Yeah.
And we both just looked at each other. I mean, it's not a free kick, is it?
No, but I think he gave it because he'd not given the previous six that all were. He just had a bad game all over the place. He never really had control of it. But this is one way I have to be very clear, because I have, and I think rightly, spent 2 and a bit years slagging off Daniel Farke's in-game substitutions. 65th minute, Nonto for Okafor, Tanaka for Gruev, Aronson for Beal, goes back to 4-3-3. But crucially, he kept the directness.
Yeah.
He didn't go to just fannying about with it at the back, which we can't do because Liverpool will just pick us off.
Yeah.
They were exactly the right changes. They worked really well. And first, we get one back. Nonto gets on the ball. He really did look up for it. Drives into the box. Goes between Gomez and Szoboszlai. Sort of fakes the cross but keeps it going. And Konate just goes through him. For like, if it had been a Leeds defender that did it, I would be fuming because it was such a stupid challenge to make.
He's going in a perfectly straight line to the byline that there is so little threat.
Yeah,
just, you know, in Sunday League, all you'd hear people screaming is "stand him up."
Yeah, but he's having one of them seasons, isn't he, Konate? And he just,
again, worth saying, Anthony Taylor did fuck all about this.
Oh yeah. Didn't give anything.
Give a corner, goal kick, penalty. He just stood, listened to some people, right up until the moment someone went, all right, we're checking this now. Yeah. But at no point did he
give anything.
Yeah.
And I know that obviously we have Leeds eyes in, so if it would have been not a penalty, we would have jumped up and appealed anyway. But we are the opposite side of the ground, right up at the top, an absolute mile away. And he's just gone straight through him there, and he's nowhere near ball. And Anthony Taylor has a good view of this and just does nothing. But, you know, I still hate VAR. I wish that we didn't have it. However, on this occasion, it's good for us that it was there. Gets the pen. I thought for certain Strouk was going to take it because I really didn't fancy Calvert-Lewin. Apparently, his penalty record is actually pretty decent. We just saw him take an awful one with his first one for Leeds.
Yeah.
And it was really well hit. And in the ground, I said, ah, oh, that's a rate pen. And I've seen it back now. And it's well hit. But it's nowhere near the corner. And it's at a really good height for the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It's not a great penalty.
It's got, I suppose it's got the power on it, though, hasn't it? And that's it's the stuff like that. I always kind of go back to the Beckham penalty versus Argentina of, like, it's not far off the keeper, but he has, I want to say he's leathered it, but it is inside of the foot, but it is struck very confidently.
Oh, yeah, caught it nice. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Napoli had a game that went to, like, 11 penalties?
No.
Vanya Milinkovic-Savic, who obviously was linked with Leeds and he's 6'8", and takes free kicks sometimes, hit what I think is the hardest penalty that's ever been hit. Right into the top corner. It's an unbelievable penalty. Yeah, but we that gets us back into it, and it sort of turned into that first 5 minutes against Chelsea. We were just on them, and they couldn't get away, couldn't get out at all. And then second goal,
3 minutes later,
again 3 minutes. Yeah, Aronson picks it up in the middle, plays a good 1-2 win on tour. Sort of takes his time, picks out a really good pass into Anton Stach in box, cuts the inside past Curtis Jones, and I think this is a brilliant finish. Every single person in the ground, and crucially, everyone in red and Alisson, all think he's going far corner. Everyone sets up as it. Van Dijk goes to block as if he's going far corner. They're all going that way, just straight in near post. And because he's disguised it so well, it doesn't even need to be right in the corner. Because everyone's basically getting out of the way for him because he's done them. And it reminded me of do you remember when we ended up getting beat 4-2, but we came back from 2-0 against Scum in like two goals in 4 minutes or something. and it was just like that, and the noise was brilliant.
I think so. One thing that was quite interesting, so we were again the first game on Match of the Day, which I could very much get used to at this point.
You know what? I've seen the highlights of like hardly any of the games from Saturday. I need
you don't need to when we're on first. Bollocks to the rest of them. I've got things to do. I know it's not a particularly difficult pass or anything like that, but we do slack him off for his awareness. Good spot from Brendan Aaronson. Gotta give him the credit for the assist. Probably could have done without the gentle booze for him when he came on. Yeah,
I forgot about that. I didn't like that at all.
I am not a Brendan Aaronson fan. I'm quite vocal about this. I'm not going to boo him when he comes on.
Yeah, it was a dick move. That there was no need for it. When they booed him, you know, when he first came back after he'd sodded off on loan, I had no problem with that. You were booing him for something that he did that was the opposite of side before self and stuff. This, the effort is always there. He just isn't that good a lot of the time. Booing him for this, I thought was a bit harsh. In fact, a lot harsh.
As a side note, there was a thread on Reddit about it. And there was an American, not Leeds fan, just an American football fan saying, Leeds fans hate Americans with Marsh and McKennie and Adams and Aaronson. And I did go, I just want to point out that while he was playing, Tyler Adams was probably our best midfielder. Really turned us against him was the fact he threatened to sue the club.
Yeah, to try and force a move to Bournemouth.
Yeah, that's kind of what we turned on. Yeah. With that.
Weston McKennie for being out of shape. And do you know who says Weston McKennie was out of shape while he was at Leeds?
Weston McKennie. The only person out of those who probably won't admit they've done it that they did anything wrong was Jesse Marsh.
Because in his head he didn't.
No. The numbers didn't lie.
Yeah.
But they did spell disaster for Jesse.
But this was a great goal, and I thought Stack had an excellent game.
I think it's the best I've seen him play in person, definitely. One of the things, so again, kind of stealing the analysis of that goal, was Konate just drops off for no reason when it goes into Stack. Like, he just gives him 5 yards. Curtis Jones notices the gap, sprints across and overcommits. So Stack just taps it past him and takes him out of it. And then, yeah, like you said, the fact he decides to go near corner, because it's the obvious finish is curl it in at the far post.
Yeah, that's just naturally what everyone sort of does.
So, yeah, he just put his foot through it and put it in the near post. And like you say, everyone's committing themselves. So Alisson's already going down as if it's going the other way. It's a really composed goal.
Yeah.
And his first at Elland Road.
Yeah, and we really liked it. Everything went great, and you went, right, we're in this here. And it's why I can't really get that mad at us for slightly overcommitting in midfield and stuff in the build-up to their third. Because it did feel like one of them, we can go on and win this. And there were loads of little things that you could pick out, like Jones plays it into Gravenberch, and Gravenberch has so much space in midfield. And our entire back four gets pulled across to the right-hand side because of the way that they've committed an extra man forward. There is a bit of overcommitting, a bit of people not quite knowing the roles. But I do think, for the most part, like 95% of this goal is down to Liverpool have good players and they did something good. Once Jones plays it into Gravenberch, he turns well, plays a really good ball into McAllister. Goodmanson's come around to cover, which he has to. The step over just takes everyone out. Szoboszlai, who I think was... he was definitely the best Liverpool player on the pitch. Really good finish. Just calmly rolls it into the corner. And yeah, there's things that you could... Farker was going mental at Tanaka after it for not being in the right position and stuff. There's probably 5 people who would slightly get things wrong. But I think the vast majority of this is really good goal.
Yeah, that's... I think that that's the sort of goal that can happen where if you're a team that isn't playing particularly well and is out of form and has whatever else it's got going on in the background, which would only be exacerbated after the game. But if you have quality players like that on the pitch, that's the sort of thing that at any given moment a group of players like that can pull out of nowhere. And like you say, it's just the step over is perfectly timed. Szoboszlai, one touch to take him through and then just comfortable finish.
Yeah. Based on the way Farker went at Tanaka after the goal, I'm assuming it was Tanaka that was supposed to be tracking him because Nonto's probably the nearest. But I do just think they just did us with the movement. Like, you look at our back four, Roden's so far over, so Strauch is so far over, so Goodmanson is. I think they just did us, basically.
You've got five midfielders on the pitch there who can near enough play each other's positions as well. So just the idea of having a particular player to mark is just so difficult in those situations, and you can just get pulled apart.
Yeah, and it's going to happen every now and then against good teams.
Yeah,
but I was the good thing was like the crowd. There was nothing. There was no even thought of annoyance of the crowd. Everyone went half, and it was just straight back up. Now let's get me out of this summit here. There was a couple more changes made late on. Peru for Ampadu with about 5 minutes left, pushing extra body, and Peru was sort of just playing in midfield. And then Bornau for Bogle late on, and Bornau basically went up top.
Which
makes me think that the thing I said about in an emergency, you put Bornau in the back three and you push Strauch up top. No, I think it's Bornau that's the emergency striker. And we had a comment of Ali saying a similar thing. I think it's unorthodox, but I think Bornau could come in if DCL gets injured. He has the attributes. I don't know if he does. He has the pace. We never actually got the ball to him to see if he could actually do stuff. But we'll find out.
He's got the pace and the willingness.
Yeah, he's definitely got the inclination. And, it's Calvert-Lewin and Metcher, they are both going to be injured at the same time at some point.
Yeah.
But Leeds start just forcing the ball forward. It's like Roden plays a long ball that gets headed out for corner. Headed away, Leeds. Nonto wins another one. And then Stack swings in a really good ball. Gravenberch gives away the most blatant penalty for handball you're going to see. But in doing so, brings it down perfectly for Tanaka. Brilliant finish. Hits it into the ground and back up on his left foot. And fucking bedlam.
Yeah. It was just such a good feeling. And by that point, it very much felt like we deserved it. Like, I know...
I think we were worth a point. I really do.
It's one of those games where somehow it's 3-3, and I don't think there's actually a massive amount of clear-cut chances. I think we've missed out the Perry save in the second half.
Yeah, and the main reason is because I've got a thing here saying, I've got a couple of things at the bottom. One says Farker and one says Perry. Perry makes a brilliant save from a Van Dijk header. He tips round the post, a really good Gakpo effort. And he makes a couple of others. So even though I don't think he was great on the second goal, I think overall he had a pretty good game.
Yeah. But I think overall you look at it and just go, the first half is absolutely nothing to write home. If you are a neutral, it would not have been a good game to watch.
No.
But we nullified them as much as we needed to, limited chances. And got to half time at 0-0, which I think in terms of the management would have been very happy with. And then second half. Now, to quote Arne Slot, and tell me if you've heard this story somewhere before, Jack. His words were essentially, it seems like teams don't have to create many chances to score several goals against us.
Yeah, I have heard that.
And I was sat there going, yeah, that's us, that. Welcome to the club. You could have saved yourself £400 million.
It was an unbelievable moment. And what a week for Tanaka.
absolutely fantastic for him. And I know, obviously, I think we mentioned about the teacher that had come over, but I think by the sounds of things, there's been a few people over from Japan that have kind of come to see him this week.
Well, if they were going to come, this was the week. Two home games, both against really big sides. Like, I bet half of Oslo was here. You know, this was the week to do it if you were going to do it. And to get, I mean, basically, we said that we weren't expecting anything. Once the Villa game went past, we weren't expecting anything from Man City away, Chelsea home, Liverpool home. So to get 4 points, I mean, it's unless we go on a horrendous run now, Fark saved his job.
Yeah, that I based on people's feelings last season and in the summer, there will always be a subsection of the fans that think we need someone different. Mm. But when I think the thing was that when push came to shove, one, he did try something different. He then followed through with it.
Yeah.
And then in the Liverpool game, when the new system wasn't working, he went to the 4-3-3, but didn't go back to everything's played out of the back. He made a triple sub. Probably could have come on about 5 minutes early because they all seemed to be stood there on the touchline for a fair while. But yeah, he made decisive changes, and it's what we wanted from him. And the fact that we could have lost that game, you could still point to the fact that he looked at it, what wasn't working, and said, right, well, let's do something different then.
Yeah, which is the thing that everyone has had issues with. And he did something, I mean, right at the end, it was a little bit, fuck it. You know, when you stick Pirou on and you've stuck by it. But when it's the last sort of 4 or 5 minutes, I don't mind it so much. It's when we had like 15 minutes of three at the back, nothing in the midfield, and just six people all in each other's way.
Yeah.
It was never going to work. And this seems a lot more like it now. And yeah, I was done with him completely. But this week, it has turned it round. Now, my worry is, and there's always a chance of this, we now go back to more normal games. Games where, like, you know, like, you're not expecting to win at Brentford. Brentford's home record is good over the years and stuff. But you'd be a lot more confident than you were going into the games we've just had. And it is, will we now play well in the games where we're less of an underdog?
Yeah, I do think that's the main concern now, that this is to make sure that this isn't all for nothing. Mm. I mean, that being said, what have we got kind of as a run of games now? We've got Brentford, Palace. Is it Sunderland after that?
Sunderland is like 28th, I think. Yeah, we've got Brentford on Sunday, Palace 20th, Sunderland 28th. And then Liverpool again on New Year's Day.
And then Man United.
Then Scum, then Newcastle away on the 7th. It's weird how early January is more like the Christmas fixtures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've got Derby away in the FA Cup. Do you care?
No.
No. I hope we win, but if we get to like the quarterfinals, I'll start worrying about it.
Just put Alfie McCall on and Sam Greenwood in, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But like, it's not a particularly easy set of fixture. It's easier than the last four, probably.
I mean, but Brentford is definitely easier. I mean, they're 14th. They're 4 points above us. But Palace are fourth.
Palace are fourth, having a great season.
Yeah, and they're a good side.
Which, given what I predicted of them at the start of the year, I could really do with them tailing off anytime soon. Sunderland having a great season. I know the Man City result will be a touch of a come down to earth. But yeah, on the whole, they're having a fantastic season.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, the one thing is, it's hard to read into what Sunderland are going to be like when we play them. One, they're very confident they're a good side, so they may just be able to ride through anything. But aren't they losing like 7 players to AFCON?
I believe so, yeah. They've got a number so away.
We don't really know what they're going to look like.
Yeah.
But they've done so well this season that they don't need to worry about that. If they have a bad month, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the thing is, of those 3 games, again, if you win one of them, you're still on a point per game.
Yeah.
So, grand. Obviously, like you say, Brentford is, of those 3, the most winnable purely in terms of league position.
Yeah.
That being said, our record there isn't great.
Well, it's London.
Yeah.
And therefore, we're not going to be good there. But you do feel a bit more confident now. Like, I mean, Brentford's recent record isn't great. They've won two and lost 4 in the last 6. Like, they lost 2-0 at Palace. They beat Newcastle 3-1, but they went down to 10 men, but I can't remember how early that happened. They got beat at Brighton, they beat Burnley, but then got beat 2-0 at Arsenal and at Spurs. That's all sort of... The result against Newcastle is probably the only one that's like, that's going against what you'd expect. And they had a man sent off. Everything else, that's sort of what you'd expect at the minute.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, what are they? They're 14th. So they are. I mean, just looking at their record, they're 6 wins, 1 draw, 8 defeats. So proper mid-table form.
But if they keep going like that, they'll end up all right. Because if you it's a bit like when you're going for promotion. If you're down there, if you do it without drawing much, that's why that first Bielsa season for us. That's why we were so high, wasn't it? Because we lost quite a lot of games, but we drew about 3 all season.
Yeah. obviously, they're sort of still adapting a little bit to Keith Andrews and kind of the, obviously, 1 new manager, 2 your main centre forwards both departed.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt that they're worried about centre forward because that Igor Thiago has been really good.
Yeah, he's looked good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of an interesting time to play them still. It's one of those teams I don't look at any one player in particular and think I'm dreading playing against them. There's some players who've been with them for a few years now who are good Premier League players, but not. There's no one I think is sort of head and shoulders above anyone else.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people saying that this is a game to be 4-3-3 in. And to be honest, I have no idea if they're right or wrong. When I look at it, I think that we still stay with the back three. Because I think that like they will have wide players, like they'll probably play Ouattara, and on that side, that Coyote will really get bombing on. And I think we defend that better with a wing back and then a centre back or a midfielder can go out to help than we do when we've got a wide player chasing all the way back.
Yeah.
So I think I'd rather stay in a back three. The one that worries me most when I think about the way they play is if we do that thing of leaving a hole in the middle again, Damsgaard's really good.
Yeah. Just looking through their team from the last couple of games, because obviously under Frank, they were very big on, they played 3 centre-backs, didn't they? And it was all...
Not every time, but a lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, because I was looking like Ethan Pinnock's not played the last couple. Mm. It's Collins and Seth Vandenberg.
Yeah.
John Henderson's there who...
He's still a solid player, but he's not someone who scares you.
Yeah, I think he was probably some of the experience, because obviously they lost Ben Mee left in the summer.
Yeah. And they lost Christian Norgaard in middle of midfield.
No, I don't believe that's how you say his name anymore.
Oh, is he now, is it a big club?
He's one of those, like, it's just his name seems to have changed over a year.
Yeah, he's not David Ginola anymore, he's David Ginola.
But yes, I think Henderson was one, probably ability wise is absolutely fine for them, but I think was brought in to sort of replace some of that experience that was lost with Ben Mee. Obviously you've got you've mentioned Damsgaard, Sharda's been there for a couple of years, Yarmolenko's been there, and Igor Thiago has started very well.
Yeah, he is one of them that's like, his finishing seems to be really good, so he's in really good nick taking chances. I've always liked that Keane Lewis Potter, who may or may not start, but he can play in about three different places. They're finally getting the wing backs back, because I mean, Alan Hickey and Rico Henry have been very injured, haven't they?
Yeah, they both came on against Spurs,
so they could. Like, I've just checked for Spurs when they started Ayo at left back. I'd be surprised if that's the case against us.
Yeah.
I think they'll play an actual fullback there. Maybe they'll move Ayo in and start him over Vandenberg. Or maybe if we're going 5-3-2, maybe they will also play a back three.
Yeah. I mean, you could bring Ayo in. You've got Pinnock there as well. They are a tall team.
If they picked the same team that they had against Spurs, Damsgaard, Yarmolenko, Henderson versus Tanaka and Padu Stark, I think I'd back us to get on top in that.
It's not the paciest. Whereas I think, yeah, like you say, especially with someone like Tanaka on the pitch,
I think that midfield could get into, our midfield in that situation could get into positions for the second ball really well. Because like, if we're knocking balls up, I mean, Calvert-Lewin can win them against just about anyone, but Collins is good in the air, and if it's Aya, he's massive. If it's Pinnock, he's also massive.
Yeah.
But if we can get someone up there, I will say, from the way that there were, if we go off what Fark said, you know, Mechie might make the Liverpool game, that would imply he'll probably be okay for Brentford. But the things sort of an hour and a half before the team got released that leaked out were like, no Mechie, and he's out for a couple of weeks. So I'd say if Mechie's fit, go back to the big front two. If not, I'd probably, even though I don't think Okafor had his best game, I'd probably still stick with it being Okafor with Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
I could make an argument for Nonto starting in that position, but I don't think he will.
That would be kind of my next in line as well. As harsh as this sounds for someone who got as many goals as he did last year, like, at no point am I really thinking Pirou.
No. I in the Championship, he was what you needed. You needed a finisher. That's not what we need now. We need someone with more than that. I think, like, one of the teams at the top of the Championship should give us 10 million. And
look,
have him score the goals that get you promoted.
I deplore Saudi Arabia and all it stands for. And I think it's a gesture of goodwill, 40 million for John Pirou would go a long way to us still not landing a number 10. Yeah, it's an odd one for Pirou, especially now. Whereas I think there was more of a case of, if you need a goal, you can bring him on as the 10 or something like that. Whereas now,
the one time I wouldn't mind him so much, if he was up with Calvert-Lewin and they played a back four. So it was just 2v2, basically. I'd be a bit more on board then, because I think he's likely to get a couple of chances. And if he gets a couple of chances, he's likely to take one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it will be Okafor. Even if Mech is even touch and go, I think he'll probably leave Mech on the bench and play Okafor for this one. But if he's fit enough, start both big lads. Do you think there's else that will change? Do you think he'll stay back three?
I think so. I think with the week's break, I think Tanaka comes back in. Mm. And I think you go back to Ampadu, Stack and Tanaka.
Yeah.
I think the other thing with those three, with Gruev starting, and this isn't a knock on Gruev, it just seems really unbalanced that, like, Gruev seemed to play as the central of those three, but Stack is the one more likely to get forward, but was kind of more based on the left hand side of the three midfielders. And
the thing I found interesting in the Liverpool game was how much Gruev pushed high off the ball. And to be honest, we did it, like Strauch did it a couple of times, where he'd really push on with his man and just like press high. It was interesting to see. It's as if we just, considering we've only been playing it for a couple of weeks, they seem far better coached in the 3-5-2 than they ever did in the 4-3-3.
I mean, it seems from kind of from bits I've heard and read that it is something he's looked into, like before this season. He's looked into it and tried it in a couple of friendlies and things, but obviously now the last 2 years never really had to think about going five at the back. So there must have been some work on it already, or some sort of basis that they're kind of working off. But yeah, it all seems to be working quite naturally.
Yeah. Other than the potential of changes up top with injuries, I can't really see what else changing. I still think it'll be Goodmanson and Bogle. Back three, I think, will be the same. Midfield. I think it is basically Metcher or Okafor. And that's about the only thing I'm unsure of, provided everyone's fit.
Yeah. And there's every chance we'll find out about that on Friday.
Yeah. Because obviously we're doing this quite early. Whether I will have to tweet out the predictions closer to the time because I haven't got them off everyone, but I can do ours. What do you reckon, Casey?
Oh, we're going to win 2-0. I'm going big now. I'm going Connie.
I'm going 2-2. I think that this I could see this being 2-2 and three of the goals are from set pieces.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a lot more like, if you'd have asked me about this game 2 weeks ago, I'd have been saying I would probably get beat 3-0 because I'd just gone. But now it's a completely different scenario.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll see how they do. They've got good forward players. The other thing to watch out is that Michael Coyote has got a ridiculous long throw, hasn't he?
Yeah, he will gently jog the width of the pitch to. It's going to take his worldy of a throw.
Yeah. Ali in the comments saying 2-1 win. Well, I hope you're right. So, yeah, that will do us for episode 337. I'm not actually sure when we'll be back, but probably early next week because the rest of this week's no good. That's why we've done the predictions so early.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll get something sorted. Hopefully we can get another result because if you get another win, and suddenly you're 18 off 16 and you just feel like you're in a much stronger position.
Yeah.
Especially with, we should mention, like, Wolves getting beat again last night, and I know it was scum, but, like, it is good for us. I mean, they are basically gone.
Yeah, the 15 games into the season, you know, I don't feel like anyone should ever be 12 points ahead of a team in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
That's 16th.
Yeah, them miles away. But yeah, so we're 16th now. We're ahead of Forest by a goal on goal difference, 2 points ahead of West Ham and 5 points ahead of Burnley. Couple of big results and we could really put ourselves in a good position. And these are the games to do it. Because Brentford away is a tough game, but it's a winnable game. Palace are a really good side, but at home, it's doable. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a really big couple of weeks for the season. That'll do us for episode 337. I've been Jax here.
I mean, Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.